May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. We are in a season of celebrations right now. We're heading into a month that is a very popular time for weddings. All sorts of graduations are happening right now, everything from kindergarten to university level graduations. In the church, we experienced Pentecost together last week, and we recognize Trinity Sunday today. And we are especially pleased to be celebrating Rite 13 today, honoring four young women in our congregation as they moved to womanhood. The lectionary readings today are particularly appropriate for this Rite 13 celebration. And I'd like to take a few minutes to look at the story about Nicodemus in the Gospel of John. This particular selection that you just heard takes place early in the Gospel of John, though Jesus had performed many signs and miracles by this point. John only records two in the chapter prior to the reading you just heard, turning the water into wine at the wedding in Cana and clearing the temple in Jerusalem. We are told, however, that many people saw the signs that he was doing and believed. One of those who had observed Jesus' signs is Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a member of the Sanhedrin. He is a very important person. He's a prominent religious teacher and a respected interpreter of God's law. He comes to see Jesus at night, and this is significant for a variety of reasons. One being the contrast between darkness and light that is an important theme in John's gospel. We don't know for sure why Nicodemus chooses to come at night. Some have speculated that he saw the evening as being a time when Jesus would be more free and they could have a longer conversation. But it's also easy to dismiss this as a cowardly act of trying to come when he would not be seen, he wouldn't be observed. It's important to remember, however, that he is in a very different place than the others who have come to follow Jesus. The fishermen and tax collectors and prostitutes and others may have had little to lose in leaving their former lives to follow Jesus, but Nicodemus is placing his reputation, his community standing, even his personal safety at risk by approaching Jesus. Nicodemus starts the conversation with what he knows, and he says, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God because we have seen the signs you do." He's identifying Jesus as a teacher who has been raised up by God. And for Jesus, this isn't enough. He takes Nicodemus to task a little bit and turns that initial certainty upside down. The conversation that follows is frustrating for both Jesus and Nicodemus. There is much talk about birth. There are 8 references to birth in 6 verses. But the Greek word that's being used can be translated as either from above or again. And while Jesus is talking about birth from above, from the water of baptism in the Spirit, Nicodemus only hears born again, and he gets more and more confused about how that can be. Nicodemus wants proof and confirmation, reassurance. But what he gets are more questions. In verse 14, Jesus mentions Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, this is a reference to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. There were snakes in the desert, a punishment for the Israelites for complaining against God. And God told Moses to hold up a bronze statue of a snake. Everyone who looked at the bronze statue would not die. They just had to trust, and they would be saved. In the same way, when Jesus is lifted up, which is an early reference to the crucifixion, looking to him and believing will be the only way to be saved from sin. But we have to make that choice to believe and trust. It's a bit like folks who are shipwrecked on a deserted island and have no provisions. If they stay where they are, they will surely die. When a boat comes to rescue them, they have a choice, either to get in the boat and trust that it will carry them to safety, or to stay where they are, where they will surely die. It's a choice, but if they choose life, they have to get in the boat. Nicodemus is one of many characters in the Gospel of John who is asked to make a choice about Jesus. And we don't know for sure how this particular conversation ends, though we do see Nicodemus re-enter Jesus' story after the crucifixion. If this was a movie, at this point, we would probably see the camera view of the conversation fade away, because we move from this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus to verse 16, which is this wonderful verse that we all know. I don't know if it surprised you when we got to it, because it's so familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. It sort of jumps out at you for us because it is such a familiar statement of our faith. Frederick Buechner paraphrases Jesus' words to Nicodemus this way. Jesus said, "I'm telling you, God's so in love with this world that he sent me down, so if you don't believe your own eyes, then maybe you will believe mine. Maybe you'll believe me. Maybe you won't come sneaking around scared half to death in the dark anymore, but will come to, come clean, come to life." Nicodemus is asked to choose life, and so are we. In today's epistle reading, Paul tells about God's love by saying that we are God's children. We've been adopted. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Paul invites us to live a life of courage because we have been adopted by God into relationship. And on this Trinity Sunday, it's important for us to think about relationship. Theologian David Luce says, "You can't fully or finally understand God without talking about relationships." And he puts it this way, "God's essential and core being has always been a giving and receiving and sharing of love that finally spills out into the whole of the universe and invites all of us into it, first through creation and God's series of covenants, then and preeminently in the sending of God's Son to demonstrate in word and deed just how much God loves us. And now as the Spirit bears witness to God's ongoing love for us and all creation." To choose life means to choose to live in relationship as God's children. And so what does it mean for us to know that we are beloved children, to know that we are unconditionally loved and have immeasurable value in God's eyes? The liturgy that we're going to be reading in just a minute puts it this way, and I think it's a good reminder for all of us. "You are formed by a loving hand and are unique expressions of the creative power of God. God is with you. God is calling you. Explore, ask, claim, and embrace." Amen.